This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Unbreakable Latina.
Hi guys, welcome back to Unbreakable Latina. This is your host Melina. I hope you're having an amazing day, whatever day you're listening to this on. I feel like it's been a long time since I've actually talked to you guys because last week I recorded the episode with Chantel. We just got right into it. I did do like a small intro just to introduce the episode and let you guys know that it was gonna be a part one and part two. But I haven't caught you guys up with life. Anyways, if you listened to the first episode of the year, I was extremely sick and I thought I was on the road to recovery, but it got worse after the episode came out. And finally, I feel like myself again. Last week was probably the last week that I felt sick. So this cold took me out, 2.5 weeks? Pero no pasa nada, oiga. We're out here trying to echarle ganas. And I kind of wanted to come on here and let you guys know what I've been up to. So I've been keeping a secret from you guys. I'm just kidding. But I did go on a date on the first week of the year. I said, first of all, I went under the table and I was like, this year is the year of love. So I'm going to say yes to dates and stuff. I went on a date the first Friday of the year when I was sick. And I kind of wanted to cancel, but at the same time, I was like, no, like, I already said I was going to go, like, you're fine. Y se me hace que me hizo más daño salir al date ese día. Because after that, it's when I was, like, extremely sick. So I matched with this guy on Hinge, and we had matched before, pero nunca salió nada. Like, we never planned a date, and I don't know, the conversation just died. So this time, I was like, hey, you look familiar. I think we've matched before. He's like, oh, yeah, but you never gave me a chance. Anyways, we exchanged numbers, we were talking back and forth, and he called me, and I thought it was cool, because I like when I have a conversation before I actually go in person, because I've had where I don't do that, and then I get to the date, and the person doesn't even like to talk. Well, this person and I had good, like, chemistry on the phone, and I was like, alright, like, he seems cool. So I got to the date, he made reservations, he drove all the way from LA to here in the IE, so I was like, perfect, everything's going well. Went to the date. On the date, like, he seemed nervous, so he was like talking a lot, and you guys know me, yo hablo mucho, but it felt like he was talking a lot about himself. Then again, I was sick, so I didn't really have energy to like talk more, so I was just listening and like laughing. And he's like, I really want to see you again. And previously he had told me like, oh, we should go somewhere after dinner. But when dinner finished, he didn't say anything, so I just grabbed my coat. I'm like, all right, you're ready to go. And then we started both walking towards the cars. But then when I got home, he's like, oh my God, you were in a rush to get home. Like, I still wanted to hang out. And in my head, I'm like, well, I'm dying sick. And also, he didn't say anything. So I told him, well, you didn't say anything, so I thought you were ready to go home. You also have, like, a kind of a far drive, so I can't read your mind. The weekend came. He had to work on the weekend. The conversation kind of died, but then he kept saying, like, oh, I want to see you again, I want to see you again. And I'd be down to see him again. But then he would call me, and he'd just be, like, quiet and very short. And it felt like he just wanted someone to talk to, like, after work. So then the conversation kind of died. And I hadn't said anything about the day because he knew that I have a podcast. He was very supportive. But like, I don't know, después, like, I was excited for the date before, and then after the date happened, I mean, obviously I was sick, but at the same time, he was kind of very just, I want to keep you on the phone, but didn't really talk on the phone. I don't know, it was weird. And he said a couple things that just, I don't know, he kind of complained about where I lived. He's like, oh yeah, it's not like I could just get up and take you out to eat when you live so far away. And that just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, sir, you knew where I lived when we started talking. So why are you complaining now? And then when he continued to text me, he would text me like if I was Twitter. He'd text me like, hey, I'm at the gym. Just finished my workout. Sauna felt so good. going to work now, and I'm over here like, I don't need to know your every second of the day, sir. Like, I hate when people text like that. So slowly but surely, I stopped texting, and I was just like, thought to myself, I don't even like this person. Like, why am I entertaining it? One thing about me is that I always exchange Instagrams with people that I go on dates with, just because I feel like I am going to judge you based on your social media. And there's been so many times where that has saved me from going on a date, because you start seeing like what type of content do they post, or what type of people they follow, what kind of pages, or how active are they on social media. Not that there's anything wrong with being active on social media, but there's a difference of like when people are being weird or things that don't align with you. So I exchange social media, but when it doesn't work out with whoever I went on a date with, I remove them. Am I weird for that? I don't know. But I just don't think it's necessary to keep someone around like that it never worked out with. I give them a trial. I tell my mom, I give them a free trial, free 2-week trial. And if it doesn't work out after 2 weeks, then bye. So on Monday, Angela came over. We did our vision boards. And one thing that we both agreed on is that last year we didn't really put anything about our love lives on our vision boards or our social life. We stayed home a lot. I mean, we did do stuff, but we want to get out more. We want to get outside. And we were talking and just getting like really in deep conversation about the meaning of life. And she was telling me about how, if I've seen videos of people talking about near-death experiences where their life flashes before their eyes, and those are the moments that are worth living for. And I started thinking about how this last year, you guys know I kind of had like a rough year because of the health scare that I had. And I found myself being at home a lot. Even though I did do stuff, it's not like me to be home this much. So this year the theme is getting outside, and I want to just make my life worth the little moments, right? So I felt inspired by that conversation that I went on TikTok and recorded a video just saying that life is short, that I'm single, I'm 33, and I just need to get outside and make connections with people. And let me tell you, there was a lot of people that agreed with me that have been the same way. And I talked about how the pandemic stole a couple years from us, and I want those years back. But the comments about me saying I'm 33 and I have no children and I'm single, I was dragged, especially by the male species on the internet. And they were calling me all sorts of names, that you're HOE and that you're ran through and that you're gonna expire. It was insane. And no one ever prepared me for the men bullying me in my comments all the time. Especially on TikTok, it hadn't really happened. It was the first time that it happened on TikTok. On Instagram, it happens all the time. But I got so tired of all these fools like just going in my comments that I went on there and put like the anti-bullying comment protection and keywords, and I started blocking all these guys, and it was insane. It's always the guys with like the car picture with the fake name, or the guys flexing and just like dragging me, saying that I'm picky, that I'm this and that. I'm like, damn, like I really asked for that, just making a video telling people to get outside and the life is short. I guess it's the way I started it. But anyways, I was getting bullied all week that I just started blocking all these guys. So on my vision board, I put like something in regards to making connections with people. And the other day I went to Pilates, and one of the girls that I always see there, and I'm so terrible with names, we've introduced each other before, and she's like, oh my god, like you didn't come last time. And we were like catching up, and I was telling her how I was sick, and she's like, I got sick too. And we exchanged numbers, so I made a friend. I'm so proud of myself. So the other day I didn't go, and she's like, yeah, I missed you today, why didn't you come? And I don't know, it just made me happy that I'm making connections with people, and I'm definitely getting outside. This weekend I went to Temecula with my friend, her husband, and her brother-in-law, and we had a good time. It was pouring rain. I got a little buzzed and I came home and passed out. But it was nice to get out and just not be home and make connections with people. So I'm already off to a good start this year. Oh, by the way, I signed up for speed dating, so it's going to be next month. I can't wait to, I want to try to film a video. I don't know if I can because I do work that day and I have to go right after. But I want to film a video just showing you guys the process of me getting to speed dating. Like, I'm kind of nervous yet a little excited, but I don't know what it's going to be like. So stay tuned for that. I also want to let you guys know that I did put in an order for Unbreakable Latina embroidered beanies. They look really cute, so hopefully I have them soon. I actually sent the payment today, and they should start working on them tomorrow, so I can't wait to get them. I hope that you guys enjoy this part two of Sexual Health with Chantel. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow me at Unbreakable Latina on TikTok and on Instagram. Don't forget to give 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because the more you do, the closer I am to retiring and being a full-time podcaster, so I can get all you guys on the podcast and go on world tour, okay? So have a good day. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Okay, another question we got is, I don't enjoy giving oral sex. How can I try to enjoy it? I would like to please my partner.
Okay. I think I would ask the question, what is it about it that I don't enjoy, right? What kind of turns me off about the idea? And so first you have to ask yourself and do that self-reflection. So if it's like taste, I just don't like the taste of it, right? Or, oh my God, it just makes me like, I can't really put it in my mouth. I don't know, right?
There's lotions for that.
Yeah, there is. Yes, there is. And so, you know, you can definitely say like, oh, okay, can you like clean it first? Or can we take a shower first? And I say showers because showers are a real good way to like get the party started. Get the party started, you know? So I think, but that's not always doable. That's not always doable. So it happens. But I get it. Like if you're kind of turned off by the smell and stuff like that, you can kind of work your way into it. You can also use your hands so that you don't have, like, you don't have to. Okay, this is where porn, like, oh my gosh, like you gotta do the deep throat stuff, right? You gotta like put it all in your mouth. And it's like, you can use your hand. You don't have to put it all in there. Do what you can. Do what you feel comfortable with. And if you absolutely don't want to, then don't do it. But this person is saying, I want to try because I want to please my partner.
So find ways to find that pleasurable or yeah. to do it.
And you don't have to do it for a long time, right? Maybe just do it as starting off. So what I found is that okay, we're getting personal. We're getting personal. My husband's gonna be like, oh, Chantel, did you just share?
He's not gonna watch.
I know, right? So he will watch. Yeah. It. So okay, he'll be like, I'm so turned on by this already, so like you can stop now, let's move this on. And so like it's a really good way to turn your partner on, and it's not like they're expecting you maybe to help them come in that way. And if you don't want to swallow, please don't do it. Like, you do not have to do that. It's not necessary. If you want to, go ahead. That's your choice. But it's not for everyone, let me tell you. So going back to the how do I get myself to enjoy it, start off slow, right? Start off with, like, you know, asking, is it the body odor stuff? Is it like the hair? What is it about it that I don't like? Where are those thoughts coming from? And can I start to challenge some of those negative ideas, right? And then you go for it. And then try it. Like, tell your partner, you know, it's something that I'm willing to work on. Can we do it for a little bit? Can I just try it a little bit for a little while just to get myself, like, kind of progressively into it? And then take it slow. Like, you don't have to do the full, you know, everything.
Todo con práctica. Todo con práctica.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, when you start seeing your partner, like, being pleased, like, when you start seeing your partner's, like, really into it, I don't know about you, but it gets me into it. I'm like, damn, I'm good.
That's all you have.
Like, damn, I'm good, huh? Oh, gosh. And so I feel like that kind of turns you on when you see your partner turned on. And then vice versa, like, your partner, my husband would tell me all the time, like, it turns me on to see you turned on. And I'm like, I like it.
I feel
it.
Like a lot of men like that.
They do.
They get off on that.
Mm-hmm, they do. Yeah.
All right. Another question we got. What are signs that your partner may be selfish during sex? How can I tell them?
Okay. So the only thing that I can think of is somebody who is like making you feel bad for not doing something. Right? Mm-hmm. And so what was that? Wait.
No. I think this one is. What are signs that your partner may be selfish? Maybe they're getting off and, like, you're not finished.
Oh, okay, okay, got it. Okay, so, well, yeah, that's one thing, right? Like, they're only thinking about them finishing.
Themself, yeah.
And so...
I've heard stories of people like, oh, yeah, well, he got his and I didn't get mine, or she got hers and I didn't get mine. Mm-hmm. But, like, thankfully, in my previous partners, like, it's always been... equal.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, because that doesn't always happen, right? And I want to also throw that out there, like, it's not always that you're not always gonna get it at the same time. Like, that's not gonna happen, but it's like taking turns. Can we do that? And sometimes, you know, we're not gonna get it, you know. Sometimes we're not gonna reach that climax, and that's okay too. I think we're so focused on the orgasm part. Like, oh my god, I have to. And it's like,
if I don't, it didn't happen.
I'm not a good partner, or oh my god, something's wrong with me. And it's like, that's not really true.
I feel like this one, it sounds like this person is saying that it's like something constant. It's not like just a one-time thing. Right. It's like where you just want to get yours and you don't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
So and how do you also, bring that up?
I would share that, right? I feel and identify how you feel about it. I've felt like, oh, I felt used, right? So I've shared with my partner, hey, I feel used when you come already and everything, and then you're done and you're moving forward and you're moving on, and I'm here like, what about me? Like, this experience
don't
was
forget
like,
about
like
me.
Don't forget
it's
about
a,
me.
Tangle.
Exactly. Or like, you didn't take your time with me, or you didn't take your time to like turn me on, but you're already ready to go. And it's like, I don't work like that, right? Like, I don't work like that. And so I can't just turn a knob and I'm turned on. Sometimes no. And so bring up what you're actually feeling. Not like, oh my gosh, you always do this. You're so selfish.
Not in like a confrontational, right. Aggressive
accusatory.
Ways.
No. Like, attacking the person's not going to help.
And maybe not right after that either.
Oh, yeah. Find the right time. Yeah, exactly. Not like, please don't do it during sex. Yeah.
You're naked, yes. And you're like, you don't finish me.
Do it before, yeah, yeah. Do it at the appropriate time and communicate to that person, to your partner, like, I feel this way when, and then identify, like, give the example of what they do. Do they just, like, come and then they're like, okay, I'm done and I move on? And then, like, no cuddling, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes we need that just to feel that comfort, to feel like it wasn't just about sex and then you moved on. Or what I also hear is like one person's willing to give oral sex and the other person's like not even like at all. It's totally out of the question, you know, and it's okay if it's not a big deal to you, like no problem.
Yeah,
fine,
but
okay,
if it's important to you, then.
But if it's an important part of the experience that you're like, oh, but I really do enjoy that and I enjoy maybe giving it back too. It's like, it's gonna feel selfish if you're like, I really want that, something I want, and I'm not getting it. It's okay. Like, it doesn't make the other person a bad person.
No, it's just not their preference.
It's just not their preference, and it's not yours either. So I would say definitely, like, communicating how it makes you feel and what makes you say that they're selfish. Like, what are some of the things that they do? And if they're a good partner, they're going to be receptive to it, and they're going to be like, I didn't realize I was doing that. I'm so sorry. How can we find a way so that you don't feel like that again?
Question we got, is it normal to get dry down there during sex, like suddenly? My boyfriend always tells me that I get wet then dry. Tips, please.
Oh yeah, definitely have had clients tell me this too, where it's just like, they're like, I'm excited, I was into it, and then all of a sudden I got super dry, and I'm like, okay, so we gotta figure out what's happening. And like I said, we're very much in our head sometimes when it comes to sex, so I would ask first, is there something stopping you? Like, what's bringing on the brakes, right? And sometimes, you know what? You can be really into it, but you're just dry. Like, it happens.
There's products for that.
There's products for that, absolutely. But there is a lot of shame from people, like, oh, why do I have to use that? I'm young. I should still be able to get wet. I should still be able to do this. And it's like, you know, let's kind of do away with that, because it's more of like, well, what's going to enhance your experience? You know, sometimes you're going to, you know, be able to like self lubricate, and sometimes you're not. A lot of the times you need to ask yourself, like, am I in my head right now? Like, what is happening?
You could be stressed. Mm-hmm. You could be stressed out. You could be worried about something you have cooking or something.
Yes.
Anything.
And I've noticed that men are very much like, I want to know that you're wet, because it makes me feel like you're turned on. Mm-hmm. But like, I could be turned on and not be like having a flood going down now. You know what I mean? And so that's so important for us to know. And in that book that I was reading, right, Come As You Are, she talks about that non-concordance, where it's like our genitals might be responding to something, but we're not turned on, or we are turned on and our genitals are not responding, right, to that. And
the wiring, like,
so yes. And so that's perfectly common, very normal, nothing to be like super alarmed. But as we do get older, you know, menopause and stuff like that might affect it. And if it's like vaginal dryness and then it hurts, like if there's pain, if there's like burning, then go see a doctor. Like, that's when it's like, okay, you gotta go see a doctor just to make sure. I always go to a doctor and make sure, run your tests, make sure everything's good.
Advocate for yourself. Very important.
Absolutely. Advocate. But there's lubricants. There are things like that. Maybe you need a little bit more time in foreplay. Like, if that really helps you, then why not? And so learning what you like, learning that you can always get tools, things that will help you, like lubrication. And it doesn't mean that that person's not turning you on. You can be very turned on. It just means that you're just not getting wet, and that's okay.
What is normal in terms of pubic hair?
Whatever hair you started growing, that's normal. Like, you know what I mean?
It just depends what you're into.
It just depends on, yeah. And I'm wondering, like, is this person talking about their own pubic hair? Like,
I'm assuming.
Right?
That's I got a few questions like that. Mm-hmm. Like, should I shave? Should I not shave? Mm. It's really up to you.
It's really up to you. And I feel like,
Porn
will have it be like, oh my god, your vagina looks so cute. Like, your vulva looks so cute. And, like, they're shaved, or they have, like, a little cut, like a little diamond. It's like,
it's shaped into the initials of your partner.
Exactly.
And I mean, if you want to do all that, you can, but it's really what you're comfortable with. Yes. And no one should shame you for, if you want to let it grow, if you want to take it off, if you want to leave a little landing strip, I think.
Yeah.
Anything, right?
It's whatever is your preference.
Everybody has different preferences. Like, everybody does, but it's up to you of what you want.
And this goes for men too, right? Mm-hmm. Because men also, you know, they have like the groom, they groom down there as well. And so it's something, right? You're the one that's going to be doing the upkeep. You're the one that's going to be doing the maintenance. So you can find a partner that matches like your style.
Matches your energy. If you want to go your energy. Full on.
And there's a lot of men that don't care. And there's a lot of women that don't care either. So it's like, it's really up
personal
to you.
Preference,
your personal preference. There's no wrong answer here.
Why is sex important in a relationship? Should it be daily? Should it not? Why?
Ooh. Should, right?
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, dinner.
Daily, I feel like it really depends on the desire of both people. But personally, I feel like daily is like such a very, very high expectation. And Taz, I mean, if people are both in the sexual desire to do that, go for it. But what I found is that, like, people have different sexual desires. And there's so many other factors. So, like, if you had a long day at work, if you've been working long hours, if you have children, if you're traveling a lot, if you're feeling sick, if you're...
There's so many things.
So,
like,
many,
it's like
factors.
Working out. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing it.
You just don't feel like doing it.
Or cooking or anything. It's like anything in life.
Exactly.
But how often do you think people should have it? Just depends on your schedule.
I think it depends on you and your desire, like you and your partner's desire. And if we're talking about relationships, you know, it's like you have another person to consider. And so it's not just about like, oh, I want to have it every day. Sometimes we're mismatched. Like, it's just a mismatch in sense of like, how do we meet in the middle, where it's just like, okay, maybe we can have it as often as I want to, or hey, you know, we're not going to have it like once a month or once a year. It's like we want to have it more. Then you guys need to talk about that and figure out what works for us. And also be flexible, because there's going to be times where maybe there's a week where it's like it's just possible the frequency can go up. And then there's other times where it's just like you guys are really going through it in terms of like external stuff. And it's not going to be possible. And so no shaming that. And don't get so caught up in the frequency. Don't get caught up in the frequency. Like, oh my God, we have to do it this many times just because my
it's
friend...
on the schedule.
Oh my God, it's on the schedule, yeah. Or because my friend said that, you know, my friend said that they have sex like 2 times a week, 3 times a week, or almost every day or whatever. It's like, you know what? Not everybody tells the truth, okay?
Yeah.
But also... do what works for you, because your lifestyle is going to be different than somebody else's.
Why is it important to have sex in a relationship?
Because it's part of ourselves. Like,
connection.
This is so... yes, connection. And it's a part of ourselves that we can't deny it. Like, we can't just be like, oh, well, I'm not... like, that's not a sexual part of me. And some people will try to tell themselves that they're not, because I haven't had sex for a while, I've never had sex, or I just don't give in to that part of myself. But that is a part of yourself nonetheless.
Pues estar estresada y ni sabes por qué.
Exactly. Hey, I'm telling you, you know, people are happier when we're having orgasms, you know what I mean? And just having that sexual pleasure and to have that connection with somebody else, like a partner. And I think as people get older, they start to tell themselves that sex isn't like, oh, I don't need that. Like, I'm older already. That's, you know, I don't need to be doing that. But it's like, no, like, we can be 60, 70 years old, and we could still be having sex, people. Like, that part of us doesn't go away.
I used to have a boss that was very open about his sexual life.
Oh, okay.
And it's crazy. When you're older, it's like more... I feel like a lot of the older people are more active than they thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Because you can't get pregnant anymore.
I know.
And just, like, they're it's just changed. Very open about it. Because...
absolutely.
I guess with age comes wise.
And I think they just don't care anymore. Like, they're just kind of like, well, I'm not going to get stuck in all these things about, like myself.
Being shamed for it or whatever.
If I'm towards the end of my life, I'm going to be like, I don't care what anybody tells me. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah.
And so that's probably where it comes from, too. But I want people to understand that sex is important because it's a part of you. And also, it's another form of connection, not just with yourself, but with another person. Like, it can really enhance the intimacy. And when we write it off, it's like, how am I going to know my partner to a fuller, deeper extent if I'm not also engaging in those ways? But that takes very mature people, communication, safety, consent.
Everything. All right. Is it normal to cry during sex? I felt a wave of emotions take over and I was bawling my eyes out.
Yes, I have heard of this as well.
Yeah.
What?
I've never heard of that.
No?
Until I got that question. Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of I have heard of this where it... and I don't know what the context is here, so I'm curious to know what the context is. But one, it could happen because you're not happy about what's going on. So it could be like a sense of either shame or a sense of just like, I'm not happy with this partner. And so I'm crying because I'm doing something physically, but my emotional is not matching. And that I can't deny that. And so we cry. But the other part is like, you really liked it. You really enjoyed it. You even
outer body experience,
and you finish, and you're like, oh my God, that it brings like little tears, yeah, of joy to your eyes, you know, and that definitely does happen, and so that's perfectly normal. I would just say if it's
constantly happening, where, but it's like, depending what type of cry it is it a cry of overwhelming emotion, or is it cry because you're upset that it happened?
Right, like what's going on?
Yeah.
And if you don't know, get to know, you know, like go back to like, how did this happen this one time? Has it happened before? Has it happened with different partners? Is it only with this partner? Where, like, what was going on in my head?
What was the
Where
trigger?
Was I at? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Sex drive. So what if your sex drive has declined significantly with your partner, but he's obsessed with you? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to reciprocate that energy.
Well, first of all, I love that he's obsessed with you. but I think it would be more of like, okay, what is happening for you? And I don't want you to think like, oh my God, I have such a big problem. And I don't know what, like, let's not get down on ourselves, right? That's the last thing we need, to criticize ourselves or to be like, oh my God, what's happening? Why am I like this? Blah, blah, blah. We don't want to go to that shame. And so I would say, what has changed? Was it always like this?
Is it problems?
Is it is it something going on in the relationship that has turned you off? Right? Is it just external? There's other context that we need to look at, right? Lifestyle changes. People don't realize, like, if we move, if we now have a child, right? If we now our partner's working more, we're working more. Whatever changes happen do affect, and they trickle down to other areas such as sex and our, you know, our libido. And so I would ask, like, what has changed? What has changed in the relationship? What has changed for you? Maybe we're looking at the relationship in a different way now, or maybe there's other things that we feel like I'm just not connected to that sexual self anymore. Why is that? Right? I work with a lot of women who are like, I'm just like, I haven't had sex in a long time, or we get used to the idea of like not having sex, and it's just like, I'm just tired, and it's not a priority. And so how do we start making a priority? So your partner's obsessed with you and you're like, want to reciprocate that. And so start to find a way to start to feel a little bit more of your sexual self, right? And there's so many ways to do this. Like, even if you're like, you know, wearing lingerie, you know, our partners don't, sometimes partners don't even care. They just want to see you naked, right? but it's more for you, like,
to get you there.
Yeah, do I want to do my hair? Do I want to do my makeup? Do I want to start getting ready to feel sexy, right? It's not just lingerie, it's other things as well. Am I a mom now, right? Postpartum changes you. Like, having a baby completely changes your body. It changes your energy levels. There's so many things to think about, a whole other life to think about, that sex takes, it's on the back burner. And so if that's not the case, I would figure out what has changed, right? Or was it always this way? Or what's going on in my mind? Like, what are the things, like, when I think about sex, when my partner brings up sex, why am I cringing? Why am I avoiding? What is it? And a lot of times people tell me, I just don't feel good about my body. I've gained a lot of weight.
Internal.
Yeah. Or even not, like, I just gained a lot of weight. I don't feel good about my body. Or last time we had sex, this happened, or they told me this, or I didn't feel good, or whatever it might be.
Just gotta figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. How to deal with a partner who has low libido but still masturbates.
And we mentioned this earlier, right? Like, if they're constantly masturbating, it can be really hard to, like, then be ready when actual, like, intimacy with you happens. And so I would probably ask, like, how frequently they're doing it. And I would also ask, like, you know, how are they, like, what are they doing? Are they watching pornography? Like, when they search up pornography, what are they searching? Like, figure out what they like, what is turning them on. And it's like,
it's that communicating, right?
And it's like, that communicating, but it's also like knowing what the other person is into, what turns them on, what do they like. And like I said, it's so easy for some people to be masturbating and watching porn or doing that self-pleasure because it's less intimidating. I mean, the person that you're looking at, like, they're not talking to you, right? They're not
judging whatever you
they're
like.
They're not judging whatever you like. They don't even know you. But your partner, they know you. They see you. And it's just so much more going on in the relationship than just sex. And so it can be really hard for them to, like, transfer over that. And so I would ask your partner, like, how often are you masturbating? Can we hold off and transfer that between us? Transfer that sexual energy to me. And what's happening, like, when you come to me, and, you know, or we come to each other and you're not wanting to be in the mood, like, what's going on there? What's happening for them? Sometimes people are really scared of their performance. So I will be curious about that.
Is birth control in the long run bad for your physical or mental health?
Okay, well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. And I will just come from a place of, like, personally, not as a professional. I will come personally. I think it's really a personal preference of, like, you. I personally had went off birth control because I felt like
same.
my skin was breaking out really bad. And the doctors told me, like, oh, no, it doesn't. And everybody would tell you it doesn't. But I did the experiment where I took it off, and I feel like, okay, yes, I break out more towards my menstrual cycle, but not like before.
No, it's not like before. My experience was the same. For me, they put me on birth control to control my acne. Did it control it? Yes. Right. But once I got off of it, it was crazy. It was all over the place. I also tried different birth controls.
Yeah.
I tried, like, low estrogen and didn't like how it made me feel. Yeah. I got really depressed on it. Yeah. And I think everybody has different experiences. I've had friends who had the IUD installed and they gained weight, or they lost weight, or they didn't feel themselves. I think it just depends on the person.
I agree.
There's people, like, I remember my mom sharing with me that she's never had any issues with birth control when she was on birth control. When I was little, I remember I used to see her pills and I'm like, what is this? But she said she never had issues. And for me, my body's sensitive to everything. So I'm afraid to try anything. So there's also, like, natural ways to track your cycle. There's, like, those thermometers.
Oh,
there's a bunch of different stuff. So thankfully, we have Google.
Right.
And be okay with making an appointment. If you have questions and you don't feel comfortable talking to anybody about it, and you do your Google research and talk to a doctor. I've gone to the doctors, and I mean, sometimes they don't really explain stuff, but you really have to advocate for yourself.
Because explain it to me.
Yeah, like, I've gone to the doctors where I'm like, hey, like, you know, I'm hitting 30-something. Like, I just want to make sure everything's healthy down there.
Right.
And there's been a lot of times where they don't want to do pap smears.
Oh,
pap smears, unless like you've had an abnormal one, but you force them. You have insurance. If you have insurance, there's also a lot of free healthcare for sexual health.
Yes, absolutely. But it is important to, like, it just depends on you. I mean, there's a lot of people who say, like, it works for them, and obviously, you know, it protects against getting, like, pregnant, but also we have to think about, like, it's not going to be preventative for STDs, so, like, using a condom is very important in those cases as well. So we got to think about that too. But birth control, I believe in the right to say, like, I want to use birth control or don't. So it's your personal preference. But I've been reading this book. Well, I read it already. This book called In the Flow. And it talks about the phases of your menstrual cycle. And she talks about birth control in a way that's like, sometimes, you know, you get missed periods and stuff like that. And so, again, I'm not talking as a medical professional. I am not.
It's just from personal experience.
And personal experience. It's, it could affect your hormones, right? And so if we know anything about our hormones, like, it's gonna affect our mood, but it really is just about unique to you, like, how is it gonna affect your personal body. And there's people, right, like you mentioned, that it was completely fine for them, and I think that's great. And so you can try it out. I would say you can always try it out, see if it works for you, see how it makes you feel, do it consistently enough to see the results. And if it's okay for you, then great. And if not, if you don't feel comfortable,
change it.
Don't
There's so many it. Different types. There's so many different brands. There's
But please protect yourself.
Yes. How to talk to teenagers about sex and keep open communication about it. This is a good one.
That is a good one, because, oh man, teenager phase, like, they have so much attitude. It's a very uncomfortable phase because they're growing, like, the guys are growing, like, facial hair, right?
Changing voices.
Girls are getting their taller. Girls are getting their period. Their boobs are coming in, right? They're getting bigger. Their hips, you know, all of that, like, is getting bigger. And so it can be so uncomfortable. But the number one thing that I can say about talking to kids, especially teenagers, about sex is, figuring out how you feel about it first. Because if you're uncomfortable, they're going to be uncomfortable. And they might be uncomfortable you're talking to, even if you're confident. But we have to be careful that we're not shaming and we're not talking about it in a way that's like, oh my God, that's so disgusting. Like, you want to be open to them about it. You want to give them the facts. Because they're going to go with their friends and they're going to try to figure it out. Or go on the internet. They're going to get the misinformation. That's not going to be good. So how do you talk to them about it? Check yourself first. Make sure, like, you feel comfortable talking about it. Make sure you check your own biases and your own, like, self-shame surrounding sex. Like, how did you learn about sex? And what messages did you get about sex? And is that something that we want to put onto our kids? And so, reminding them that what happens with their body, right? Like, for boys, erections, right? Discharge, all these different things that is normal. We are human beings and it's going to happen. And I actually did a training, right? So I went through the sexual health school with Dr. Brito, and one of the trainees was talking about like the lifespan. And the trainer was talking about how she has a 14-year-old son, and I thought it was so cool. And she was talking about how, like, she knew, and she's kind of caught, like, he was going to be masturbating. And she was like, I wasn't going to, like, that wasn't the right time to be talking about it. He's busy. I'm going to, like, do my thing, and I will tell him, like, hey, you know, I noticed that you were doing that and stuff like that. Like, I noticed that you were doing that, so, of course, you're going to be curious about your body. Totally okay. I totally get that. We want to do it in private. And so we want to emphasize consent and privacy to where this is, you know, masturbation is not something we do in public. It's going to be something that we do in private. So if you want to do that, make sure you have this, make sure you have a towel, make sure you get some lubricant, whatever. And I know that sounds like, whoa, what?
Yeah, because we didn't have conversations like that.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Can you imagine your mom telling you that?
Oh my God. All I remember my mom telling me was like,
Don't get pregnant.
But she wouldn't actually talk to me about sex. But I mean, she didn't know much either, right? And so it was really hard for her to talk about it too. But I don't think she was too shy about it. But she just wouldn't really bring it up.
It's just something that we weren't used to talking
about.
We're
not used to it. But that's why we want to be a different type of generation.
Normalize.
Parents. We normalize it. We're not going to be like, oh my God, yeah, I'm rooting you on for doing that. It's like, you don't have to do all that.
there's parents like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there is. But like, you don't have to do all that. But you can just say like that, like normalize it for them. Like, yeah, of course, like your body's going to be coming out. Like you know, people, you're going to get people noticing your body more, especially for women. Like, oh my gosh, when I developed my boobs, forget it.
Oh, I remember.
Girl.
You were early.
Oh my God, I was that early word.
I remember, and it was kind of like, as a friend, like, I would feel bad because there were so many, like, men were so vulgar towards you.
Mm-hmm. Sixth grade.
Yes.
Right? So we're like, what, I'm like 11?
Yes. Oh my God. I couldn't believe when they would tell you some stuff, and I'd be like, oh my God, I feel so bad for her, but I didn't know how to comfort her.
I know.
I was like, I don't know.
And I was just like, oh my God, I just want to wear my sweater. Because yes. Like, cover us, you know? But I see, that's why I think I was very like, I was very much not interested in sex in terms of like, I don't see anybody that I feel wants me more than for my body. And so I'm not even going to go there. And so like when I would talk to guys and stuff like that, like going into high school, I would talk to guys and stuff like that, and I knew like this is obviously you're a teenager, that's what you're gonna want. You're gonna want to feel that pleasure, you're gonna want that, right? So I get it, but like I wasn't in that place. I was like, I don't want to just have sex with you, I don't want to just do those things. And
I want an emotional connection.
I do, but also I was very afraid to have the emotional connection. And so when you're a teenager, there's so many things going on for you. You're trying to figure out life, right? Your friends are everything, like they're a priority. And then these things are happening to your body and you're getting different attention. And so talking to your kids about like, these things are going to be happening. How can we navigate that, right? Setting boundaries, consent, 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 consent. I teach my kids consent from when they were little, from when they were babies. I'm gonna change your diaper now, is that okay? Like, and people are gonna say like that's extreme, but I'm just gonna say like if they're gonna learn that and take that on with that, then that's gonna be the best thing, because they have to know that everybody has access to them and I don't need to give my body to feel love, right? And that was something that I'm like,
I need to teach them.
I was like, yes. And so the attention that you get, you know, you're going to be like the Barbie movie, right? Have you seen the Barbie movie?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh. You got to watch it. So in the Barbie movie, like she goes into like the real world and like now she's being objectified, her body, and like somebody like slaps her butt and everything. And it's like, what? She's like, what? Like I'm out of my perfect Barbie world. But that is the reality. And so we need to talk to our teens, to be gentlemen, to be respectful, right? And for the girls to be like, yeah, guys are going to look at you a certain way, or other girls are going to be looking at you a certain way. They're going to want to touch you. They're going to want to do this. But it's like, it's up to you to decide if that's something that I want to explore or not. And you have to be okay and comfortable having those conversations, because when something happens with your teenager or your child, or if something happens that was uncomfortable for them, you want them to come to you and not to their friends or to somebody else. So check with yourself, check in with yourself. Am I uncomfortable with this? Do not shame them. They're going to have questions about their erections and all of that. And so, and what I see is like a lot too is like the women will say like, oh, well, if you have a male partner, like, oh, well, the son, yes. The son talks to the, you know, the dad talks to the son. And like, you can do that also. But I think it's to, if you have a partner, you can do that as a united front, because, you know.
That way they can feel comfortable going to any parent.
Absolutely. They could go comfortable. But some people don't have that luxury. Some people are single parents. So I totally get that too. So you do your best to explain and maybe find books even. I'm really big on books.
Yeah.
I just bought my daughter one about like self-hygiene, self-care, taking care of herself, taking care of her body and what that looks like. And just being able to say like, okay, this is appropriate. And if you want to take parenting classes, sometimes there are parenting classes that can help you see what's appropriate for their age and what's not. And so that could be very helpful as well.
I think we covered like everything, because all the other questions are like like the repetitive stuff that we did.
That sounds good.
So I want to thank Chantel so much for coming on and for working with my business.
Please.
Can't wait to have her back again. And now we have a little setup going at her office. But next time I'll be prepared. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you, Chantel?
So I'm at chantel.lmft. That's my IG handle. I also have my website linked on there in my bio. So you can find me on Instagram. That's pretty much the
and
the
she'll definitely media be back. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank
Bye
you.
Bye guys. So much. Hope Bye. You have a good week.